ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, and we would like you to zoom your lens in on verse number 20 and read with me as I read down to verse number 26. John chapter 11, verse 20 through 26, and it reads as follows. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's pray. Father, we pray as we spend a few minutes in your holy text, that you would move upon the tables of our heart and upon the minds that you gather here today, and you would open them, Father, and help them to be receptive to what thus saith your word and what thus saith your spirit. We ask, Father, that if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl that knows you not in the free pardon of sin, that today of all days they might clearly understand the choice that must be made because of the cost that was paid, because of the story of Easter that we tell every year about you getting up on that first day of the week. We ask, Father, for preaching power. We ask, Father, for listening grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I went to a funeral last week, and it was a sad but happy time. It was a sad time for the family and the friends that had been left behind and were now realizing, if they hadn't really grasped it, the fact that the man who had died was actually gone. They looked in the casket, they watched the casket close, they watched him be taken out to the hearse, and then they all went to the cemetery and watched as the final rites were given, and they heard those words, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And then the rest of their lives must go on. And usually the grieving process, if it has not been felt or experienced, it is usually really kicking into high gear, so to speak, when a person goes to a funeral. It really looks you in the face because you know that, yes, he's gone, but there's something about the fact of going to a funeral and watching the body be placed in the casket and the casket being taken and put in the ground that you realize that when you go back to your house, if he was your dad or your husband or your brother or whoever he was, that he's not coming back. And that empty chair at the table and that empty chair in the family room that he used to sit in, it is not going to be filled because he's gone on. And in our text today, we find that Jesus is at a funeral. Lazarus had died, and his sisters, Martha, the oldest, and Mary, the younger, have been left behind, and they are grieving and mourning their loss. During the grieving process, when somebody dies, emotions are really running high. In fact, they can almost be out of control at times. I've seen a lot of people do interesting things at funerals because people's emotions are overcome with the moment, and it's like it's just so hard to actually say goodbye. Corrie ten Boom, who was taken to a prison camp because she was a Jew during World War II, lost her sister, Betsy, who was also in the camp with her. And one of the things that she said was, is that in life, when you hold on to things tightly and God takes them out of your hands, the tighter you hold on to something, the more it hurts when God takes it away. And the one thing she had learned about all of that was, is to hold things in life very loosely. Because God does have the final say. He makes no mistake. His plan is perfect. He knows what he's doing. Our time frame, our schedule says this was not the right time. This was not the place. This was not the way. But God says it's time to come on home. And as to quote the old TV show starring Marcus Welby, Father knows best. Well, in our text today, you find what we all experience when somebody dies. And my thought for today is simply this question: do you believe? And we want to look at what Jesus said, what he did, and what it really means, because that's why we're sitting here today. The man had been dead 4 days. Martha and Mary were a little upset with Jesus. They knew that this was God in the flesh. They knew this was a God who they had seen perform miracles. They knew that this was Jesus who was able to make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. This was the man who could do everything, who could change water into wine at a wedding. This was a man who could feed 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 barley loaves. They knew all that stuff about him. They were really involved in his ministry. They knew what he could do. And they figured, they had seen that he had just reached out and touched people that were sick and had raised them up to health, and their brother had been sick, and they sent for Jesus because, you know, it wasn't like us where God is the last place we turn after we tried to do what we could, and then maybe we go to the doctor or talk to our friend or take somebody else's medicine, or, you know, we try to fix it ourselves, and then we realize it's beyond us. Then, when we realize how serious it is, we turn to God. They turn to God first because they realize the best place to start is with the one who knows all about our situation. Jesus did not come when they wanted him to, but as the Bible says, he was right on time. There were some lessons that Jesus needed to teach, and sometimes, as we talked about in class, when is tragedy a good thing? One person said, this is the only case I can think of where a tragedy, talking about the resurrection of Christ, turned out to be a good thing. And my question to the class was, is that actually true? I said, well, give me an example of what you consider a tragedy to be. And someone said, well, something happens to you and you get sick and you find out because when they do tests that there was something else wrong with you and they can fix it. If you've never gotten sick with the first thing, they'd never found out about the second thing. I volunteered the fact that sometimes you're driving down the road. I like those kind of stories. You're driving down the road and you have a flat tire and you stop and you change the tire and then you go on down the road and then you find out that up the road, somebody got killed because there was an accident, and you say to yourself, there but for the grace of God, literally, go I. It seemed a bad thing that I had a flat tire, but in terms of being able to go on with my life and God sparing me that day, I understand that if it had not happened for the tire, which was considered to be a tragedy, a bad thing, good things come out of bad things, and that's the story that's repeated all through the Bible. Every time man seemingly messes up, blows it, and has fix it beyond repair, God steps in and makes something out of nothing. You've got the first man and the first woman in a perfect environment who did the exact thing that God told them not to do, and we know that's why we're all sitting here today, because we've got their disease. The disease called sin. And it's killing us, literally, physically, and spiritually. But God said, even then, I've got an answer to your problem. I'm going to bring something good out of something bad. So Martha, her emotions are running high, and she says, when she finds out that Jesus has finally arrived, she goes out to him, and her sister's still in the house, and she starts in, pointing the finger. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, Martha was always good about getting in Jesus' face, because when he came by to see her and her sister one time before, and she was in the kitchen whipping and cooking and stirring and frying, and her sister's just sitting back, listening, and having a good time with the Lord, really enjoying herself in the Lord. She says, Jesus, tell my sister to get in here and help me. I'm in here trying to get something to eat, fix you a good meal, and she's just sitting down. Martha, Martha, thou art worried about so many things, but your sister has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So that was Martha's personality. She's a type A. She doesn't mind getting in your face, pointing the finger, telling you how it is. As my grandmother used to say when she talked to me, I'm talking right to your head. And she'd be pointing right at me. I'm talking to you. That's the way Martha was. I'm talking to you. If you'd have been here, this wouldn't happen. Why did God allow this to happen? Because there was a greater plan than just somebody being sick, getting well. And Jesus asked her a question. He says, first of all, he says, you know, your brother's going to rise again. We all sit here, we all say that,
oh yeah, I believe, you know, in the resurrection, I believe it's going
to
happen.
But until you come face to face with the awful truth, do you actually believe it? Do you really believe it? You sit there and you go to a funeral and you watch somebody and you not only look about them, you think about yourself, you think about your relationship to them, you think about what's going on in your own life. Does it all really amount to anything? Am I doing anything with my life? Am I wasting my life? Do I have anything to speak of that's an accomplishment, or am I just putting in my time? Funerals are good for the living. And that's who they're for, because they make us stop and think about what's happening with us. So Jesus says, your brother shall rise again. She says, I know the book says that in the latter day he's going to get up. I know that, but I want him here now. I'm not worried about the by and by, I'm worried about the here and now. I want him here now. And Jesus looks at her and he says the most fascinating thing. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How's a dead man going to get up? How's a dead man who's been in the grave 4 days going to have any life? What is Jesus actually saying when he's talking about he is the resurrection? What he's saying is he has all the power of heaven and earth in his hand to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. If we could save ourselves, and we spend lots of money trying, that's why some of us go to the doctor and exercise and do all these little things to keep ourselves healthy and going, because we want to stay around, because we don't want to die, because we want to go out with a good-looking corpse no matter how old we are. They used to say, you know, you live fast, you die young, you live a good-looking corpse. Some of us want to live long and be old and have a good-looking corpse. So we do things to take care of ourselves, but Jesus is saying, you know what? In spite of everything that you and I do, we're all going to die. It may not be when, it may not be where, it may not be how, but we're all going to die. But I have good news. I am greater than death, because I am the one that has the power over death. So what does Jesus do? He says that to her, and then he says, well, let's go on down to the cemetery, and I've got something I want to show you. And when he gets down there, the most amazing thing happens. He says, roll away the stone. They say, oh, you don't want to go in there. He stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Now you got to remember, this is a desert region. Just like around here in July and August when it's been 90 degrees for 2 weeks and the grass is dry. The grass is dry and brown, and anything that gets hit by the road has an awful stench to it. You go by the lake and there's no water going over the dam and the water's stagnant and it smells yucky and, you know, it's just that horrible smell of death. So, you know, they're, no, we don't want it. No, he says, roll away the stone. And you see, the reason why I picked this text is because what happens to Lazarus is what has happened to us, or should have happened to us, if you believe. Because there's three things that happen, and then I close and take my seat. This was a dead man. He was physically dead, and he was spiritually dead. And some of us are still alive, but we're not alive to the things of God. We are spiritually dead, and the first thing that God does is he calls us forth. He calls us from where we were to where he wants us to be, and that is, he's calling us from death to life. And that life is found in himself. That's why he said, I am the life. If you want to know what life is to its fullest, if you want to experience abundant life, it's finding life, living it in Christ. So the first thing he does is he calls forth Lazarus. The second thing is, he calls you by name. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for, John 3:16, the whole world. But you know what? You can put your name there because he died for you. He died for me. And that's why we preach this message, and that's why we show up every Sunday, and that's why we celebrate his birth at Christmas, and that's why we celebrate his death at Easter and his resurrection. That's why we're here. If there wasn't anything to it, Jesus says, Paul says, we're wasting our time, but I'm here to tell you there's a reality in serving a true and living God, because they came to an empty tomb, and he calls us from death to life. Life in himself. Spiritual life, you know, you can be physically alive but spiritually dead, and God says, I can do something to you that will blow your mind. I will change your whole way of living, your whole way of thinking, because I will now bring a part of you that has been dead back to life, and you will never look at life the same way, because you will look at life from God's point of view. You are spiritually alive, and how does that happen? Do you believe? If you don't believe, does that mean it's not true? The answer is no. But you see, he calls us by name. He calls us from death to life. And he calls us to a new and a better life. And that is a life that starts from the day we say yes to him. I don't know how often you think about dying, but I think about it a lot. I think about me dying. I think about you dying. I think about my family dying. It's not that I'm obsessed, but I've lived over half my life, and I've seen a lot of people go. And when I go to funerals, I'm always kind of happy now when I go to funerals of believers, because I'm thinking heaven's going to be a pretty popular place. Because there's a whole lot of people over there that I'm going to get to enjoy for eternity. What is eternity? Eternity has no end. It has nothing called a period at the end. It's open-ended. It just goes on and on and on. It will be the best day of your life that lasts forever. No sadness, no sorrow, no heartache. All the things that make this life such a trial. You know, you hear all the time people finding out they've got cancer or a disease and their bodies are ravaged and they can't do what they used to do. They're getting old. They're slowing down. They have accidents. They get injuries. All that stuff. People have problems in the relationships. They find husbands and wives and children and parents fighting and fussing and not being able to get along. And the Bible says that there's a day coming when none of that will be a problem anymore. Because the new life we have in Christ changes everything. This, somebody said, changes everything. And it's the simple fact that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Believing simply means this. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin named Mary. He lived a life without sin, and the Bible says he was born for one reason. Now, we're all going to die, but Jesus was born to die. He came to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and that he came to take away our sin problem. And that's the horror of the cross. Jesus on the cross, feeling the wrath of God poured out for all the sins of mankind, yours, those little secret things that you do that nobody else knows about, for mine, the things that I do that only I and God knows about, and everybody else, the pedophiles, the sexual offenders, the murderers, the rapists, the homosexuals, all that stuff is sin. I don't care what anybody says in our society, you can give it a medical diagnosis all you want to, but the Bible says sin is sin, right is right and wrong is wrong, and Jesus died to take care of it and do what no medicine or incarceration or anything else can do. He can change us from the inside out if we just believe that he died to take care of our problem. And when he died to take care of our problem, we believe that it's all over. We can live life finally the way that God wants us to.